just because I like that mentality, I like that thought of, number one, like it says in Philippians 3, which is one of my verses that I always go to, it's like forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward. So I like that, you know, we can, even though all the mistakes that we make, like leave them behind, move forward, and just examining ourselves and where we're at with the Lord and what we're doing and things like that. So I'm in Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. So first I'm going to read it, and I'm just going to highlight some key points for us. So it says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her.'" Okay, I'm going to pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing us here this morning and even up to Lincoln, and just to be able to spend time with our friends up here and just to, you know, reconnect with them after seeing them at camp and things like that. And I just appreciate the safe travel that we had and just the fun times that we had coming up here and the fun times that we've had so far, Lord, and even today, whatever you have planned for us. And but I just pray now for this time that we're able to gather around your word, and I just pray that you would help us to focus on it, help us to get something from it. And I know a lot of the kids have heard this already, but I just pray that they would just remember even more and maybe even get something new from it, Lord. And just pray that you would be with my words that I speak and just help it to make sense to everyone here. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry. Luckily, I had just enough storage space to add one more note to my iPhone. I keep getting that warning. It's like, manage your storage settings. I have too many pictures. I need to dump them out. So anyways. So I'm going to start. We're just going to walk back through. So verse 3, it says that they're in a city. This is, of course, Jesus and his disciples. And it says that there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. So a woman comes to the sitting, and she's got a box full of an ointment. And it says that she broke the box and poured it on his head. So what she poured on his head, the Bible says that it was very precious. So the sacrifice that she was making was precious. It cost her something to be able to serve Jesus this way. And true service for God will cost us something as well. It might be, you know, getting up early to read your Bible, or, you know, like for me, like Zach was talking to Logan, sometimes you train your body into doing things like you try to lay down and pray, but then that it's just a way to train yourself to go to sleep, you know. So sacrificing that time to stay up late, be on your knees, you know, in a position where you actually can pray to the Lord. It might be giving up on an evening out, you know, with your friends instead to go to a church event. So sacrifice, it's going to come into play whenever we try to serve the Lord, and that's what she did. Whatever, it says it was very precious and very costly in another book in the Bible, and that service is going to cost us something, and it's going to be precious, whatever we choose to do for the Lord. And then at the end it says, "And she broke the box and poured it on his head." So she made this choice on her own. It was her own hand doing the work. It was a choice that she made for herself, not because her parents or her teacher or her pastor or friends told her to, or because she thought she should. She broke the box herself because she wanted to. And, you know, if you think about it, you can serve God for a little while, trying to please your friends, trying to please your parents, trying to please the pastor or whatever, but it's not going to last long. That type of service, doing it that way, is not out of your own heart, that own desire to serve the Lord. It's because, you know, you're trying to put on a show to someone and, you know, trying to look spiritual and have them say, well, look how spiritual they are and everything that they're involved in. You know, they must have a great relationship with the Lord. But serving God is going to takes faith. It takes work. And it is a sacrifice on our part. And if we're doing it for any other reason, you know, like trying to please someone else or trying to look spiritual, besides for the right reason, which is, you know, what he did for us, that it's not going to last. That service is not going to last. It's not going to be a long-lasting thing. So in verses 4 and 5, we have some responses from the people that were there, and it says, after they watched what happened, it says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. So indignation, I looked it up, it is anger combined with contempt towards someone. So that is very strong. And they basically despised her for what she did for Jesus. Instead of, you know, here are his apostles, his disciples, who have been following around. You know, we're in Mark chapter 14, so this is obviously towards the end, towards his crucifixion. So it's not like they had just met him. These are his friends that he's been around for a while. They should have been happy, you know, for what was being done for him. You know, they're trying to she was trying to glorify him and anoint him for his burying, it says there. But they were upset. They were angry at this lady, and it says that they were murmuring against her. So, you know, just that little talking around her, about her, behind her back, basically. So, one, the same thing can happen to us when we want to serve the Lord. Other people may not be pleased with us. They may be angry because we're choosing God over them, because we're putting God's desires before theirs or even our own. You know, and for my own self, you know, it's the same thing. My parents, as my example, oftentimes my mom will say, oh, you're always doing so much. And it's, you know, it's not that she doesn't necessarily get upset anymore, but at the beginning, she did not understand it. You know, why are you always at church? Why are you always doing things with your church family and things like that? And she doesn't understand it, and she felt like it was a slight against her. You know, I'm your mother. Why wouldn't you choose me? You know, and things like that. So, so you're going to have that side of the coin. You know, you're going to have people that are angry against you for your service towards God. But make sure you're not on the flip side. Make sure you're not that person who has contempt against someone else and their service for the Lord. Because oftentimes I think people will view our work for God as a competition, just to see who can do more for the Lord, who's getting a bigger share of the work. And they can see someone who may be doing more, and they might get bitter or jealous towards that person instead of just focusing on what the Lord has for you, making sure you get that done. So be faithful with what work God has for you to do. And we see in verse 6, this is how Jesus viewed the sacrifice that she made. He called it a good work. And that's how he's going to view what you do for him if you do it for the right reasons. The reasons are because he asked you to. And number 2, because you love him and you want to be obedient to him. Those are the right reasons for doing your work for the Lord. So in verse 8, it says, she had done what she could. So her sacrifice was the best that she could give Jesus. She did what she could. So I don't know a lot about this lady. I know it's it's Mary from the Mary and Martha group, you know, but I don't know about her background. But if you think about what kind of situation she may have been, maybe she was a widower, maybe she had kids. You know, maybe she wasn't like the other disciples and could drop everything and follow Jesus around and do whatever. What she was able to do was buy a box of ointment that was very precious and anoint him for his burying. That's what she could do. But you have to be mindful of what she was able to do. She did it. And our sacrifice should be on that same level. Whatever we can do for God, we should do. So each one of us have different, you know, personalities. We have different lifestyles. Some of you in school. Some are stay-at-home moms. You know, some of us are in the workforce and things like that. And we're all in different playing fields. And we all can serve the Lord in different ways. And your lives are going to change. And you're going to have to adapt in each one of those situations. You're going to have to adapt how you're able to serve the Lord in each one of those situations. But just make sure that you're doing what you can for God in that present situation. And the example that I gave for youth group was my study habits. You know, before I had a husband, before I had kids and things like that. And I would go to coffee shops. You know, you Lincoln people are very fond of coffee shops as well. And I was also, and I would love to go, and I would I would listen. I went through the books of the Bible, so I would take notes on it, and I would put the notes in my Bible, you know, and I like it color coordinated, and highlighted, and all that kind of stuff. And I could do that. I had hours. I didn't have responsibilities. I didn't have to, you know, I don't want to get into it, but I mean, I didn't have any of that. I had freedom. And that's what I could do at the time. But now, then I got a husband, and then we had kids. And now I can't do that. I can't go, sorry, Zach, I'm checking out. I'm going to the coffee shop for half the day. It can't be like that anymore. But what I can do now is, and even at night, it's hard to read because you're taking care of them. And it's, you know, it's just different. And so what I do now is I listen to the Ruckman commentaries when I drive. You know, I love to be able to take notes on those things, but it's like, I have lots of time going to and from work, to and from, you know, church and things like that. And that's what I can do right now. You know, they're going to be in school someday and it's going to be different. And I can go back to having more study time, or I can have my Bible out for an hour, you know, at our house and work on my stuff like that. But our nights are so crazy sometimes. It's like I'm trying to get to that place and it just like never happens. It's shocking to me. I'm like, I feel like I'm going so slow. And I'm like, how does it take all night to do all these chores? But anyways. But like I'm saying, it's like what I could do at the time, I was trying to do that. What I can do now for the Lord is what I'm trying to do. And it's gonna keep changing and adapting, and you guys have to do the same thing. You know, I know you guys are in school, a lot of you guys are in sports and you have jobs and things like that. And I totally understand that. The Lord totally understands that. And it's not a cop out to say, well, I go to work in 3 hours, you know, I can't do anything for the Lord right now. But it's whatever you can do for the Lord, you are doing for him. And that's what this lady did. Whatever, you know, the sacrifice that she could make for him, she was doing. And the last bit I want to kind of key in on is at the end of verse 8, and it says, after the semicolon, or colon, I never can get those straight. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So it just means beforehand. That's what we say now. So she came before his death to anoint his body for the burying. And if you flip over just a couple pages over to here to chapter 16, verse 1, I'm going to read some of these verses. And it says, so obviously in these two pages you just flipped, he was prosecuted, he was found guilty, they crucified him, and now this is kind of the fallout from that. So it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So here are some ladies who wanted to do the exact same thing. They wanted to anoint the Lord's body for his burying. And it says, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said unto themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. So these ladies come to anoint him. You know, they kind of question who's going to move the stone, because it's still there. It's already gone. And somebody's sitting inside the tomb, and they say to the ladies, I know you're here to look for Jesus, but he's not here. He's risen. And our story back in Mark 14 is the principle that she did what she could during her life. These ladies came after the fact, after it was too late. His body was gone, and that opportunity to do that good work on him had passed. And it's the same thing for us. We only have so many days down here on the earth to serve the Lord. And we won't have forever to be able to do that for him. You know, Zach always gives the analogy of when we get to heaven, you know, when we're singing, that's the thing. When we're singing, and some of you think, oh, my voice is croaky, and, you know, I'm not a good singer, and I'm not going to sing out for the Lord and all that. But when we get to heaven, we're all going to have beautiful voices and things like that. And the opportunity to sing out for the Lord and make a joyful noise to him now is here. And it's the same for our service for him. There are only so many days that we're able to be able to serve him and have it be a sacrifice, have it be a work of faith for him. And once that time is up, we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him forever. And that time to make those sacrifices will be gone, and that opportunity will be passed. So that's what these ladies were trying to do in chapter 16. They were trying to come and do the exact same thing, but it was too late. So either the Lord is going to come back for us at the rapture, or death is going to take us home to be with God. But either way, our time that we could be serving God is going to come to an end. So just make sure you're doing, you know, what you can each day. And that's what it is. It's just that daily choice of purposing in your heart to do what you can for Him. And what it talks about, leaving those things which are behind. Maybe you screwed up yesterday. Maybe, you know, it was like a wash. I couldn't do anything right yesterday. It's a fresh day. You don't have to wait for a new year to set that milestone and do what you can for Him. So that's what I have. Thank you for listening.
Thanks. I want to touch on something Jenny had brought up there back in verse 14. I think it's just something I really want you guys to key in on. Everything she brought up was really, really great, and I really enjoyed this devotion when she gave it. Mark 14, verse 4, like where she talked about, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made?" When you look at that ointment as like just the essence of your life and everything that you are, that is so true. Like, you kids are really good kids. And, like, you got friends around you, people in your schools that you know are, like, kind of, like, just not doing much with their lives right now. Like, maybe they got into drugs or just are screwing things up and everything like that. So people don't expect much from them. But when you take good, well-mannered kids that are well-behaved, that are, like, actually doing their best in school and taking care of things and maybe excelling and just, like, everything that they put their hand to do, and then you take a kid like that and they make a decision not to go to a prestigious school that's far away from home, but to stay close to home just because a church is there, to the world, you look like you're wasting your life. And I want to get you guys ready for that. When you truly choose to serve God like He asked you to, and you have faith in the fact that, no, the most important thing outside of me getting saved and me getting my Bible and the Holy Spirit inside of me is the church that I go to and making sure that I'm around a good Bible-believing church. And when you base your life around that instead of around the school you go to, instead of around the job that you have, and you choose to avoid maybe moving away to stay close to a church, like, you're going to look like you're wasting your life to the world. And I want you guys to get ready for that. That's the same thing this lady right here went through. The Bible says this thing costs 300 penny worth. Jesus Christ, a couple chapters before, did a parable where He talked about giving someone a daily wage of a penny a day. That's almost like a yearly wage. Her yearly salary she spent to buy this oil, then she breaks it on the feet of Jesus. It looked like she wasted her entire life's work, you know, right there to sacrifice it to Him. But it's going to look like the same thing for you guys. You guys have so many great opportunities because of how you guys have disciplined yourself and the opportunities that are going to come for you in the future. I'm just going to let you know right now, to the world, it's going to look like a waste. But hey, it's who you're trying to please, who you're trying to serve. And just like I talked to you guys about last night, if the Lord be God, if He's real, if there's really a God out there, we'll act like it and serve Him. But if it's not, we'll put being a Christian hypocrite. Leave this stuff alone and go out there and do what you got to do in the world and make it happen. But that, I think that's just such a huge point. I don't want that to come over easily on you guys. That is so huge. What you're doing right now, leaving your sports events to come to youth group, or skipping out on other things you could be doing Thursday nights, coming to church Sunday mornings, that looks like a waste. You guys have so much potential to the world, and they expect so much from you guys. When you make those decisions, it looks like you're wasting. But don't forget something else we talked about a couple of weeks ago. After we're saved, our job is to lay hold on eternal life. That's what it is. We're to witness to other people so that they can have that same opportunity, but after that, we're supposed to lay hold on eternal life. And I told you guys a couple of weeks ago that it's elusive. It's not a given that you're going to get the crowns. It's not a given that you're going to have a great inheritance. It's not a given that you're going to have all these rewards. But you have got to lay hold on it. You've got to block out all the nonsense of why are you doing that? That could have been given to the poor. You could have given that to this society over here. You could have went to this school. You could have had this prestige. They needed you down here in this state. But you stayed close to a Bible-believing church to get what you can for eternity. Just get ready for that. You're going to get some flack for that. You're going to have to bear reproach to do the right thing for God. But it's going to be worth it. It's definitely going to be worth it. So I didn't mean to jump in there, but that really just kind of really hit me hard today. So I think that's good for you kids to hear. And thank you so much, Jenny, for sharing that. So, all right, Carolyn.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Thank you so much. Well, let's get together and what's the plan? Just hang out and hit the pizza place later on?
The aisles.